Here's Coley Campbell. Enough of this nonsense. Long time no talk. How you been?
I've been pretty good. I was wondering whether you sprung back or sprung forward or
fell back.
Fell back, and now I know.
Now you know, because Shannon is a font of useless information.
Coley knows that.
No. John's pretty good because, you know, I didn't have my agenda done. I don't like sending it out anyways, but I actually didn't have it done. I had late things coming in.
Yeah.
Late items coming in.
Yeah.
And the managers get a little upset when I don't get it out and they can't read it before they get there. But I don't like sending it out early because normally it falls in the hands of one of you guys.
Yeah.
And this time, John, you circulated some items, and the only people that knew what the agenda was with myself and my assistant.
Well.
Gary and Bill knew.
Uh-huh.
So where'd
you get it from, John?
Where'd you get it from, John?
Coley and I want to know.
I cannot reveal my source.
Yes, you can.
I cannot?
Yes, you can. Squeal. Coley wants to know.
No, I guess I'm going to jail. I'm First Amendment, man.
Canada. There ain't no First Amendment in Canada.
Well, I'll find the thing in the freedom of rights.
That doesn't count anymore. I had emails sent to a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And they all revealed.
Yes.
So come on.
Every time I think I'm gonna email Coley, I just stop. Because I know I'm not going to get a response. So.
Well, I had nothing to do with it, Coley. I want you to know.
So are you suggesting...
And I'm not the least bit interested in your agenda, by the way.
By the way, are you suggesting I had a good source?
Good, because they were right.
Well, when you have nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon, somebody sends you something. So
okay,
there you go. Did you accomplish anything, Mr. Campbell, at this
the media come quite a bit of the media come down to that meeting. I don't invite them.
wait a second, what does that mean? You don't like me? You don't like me?
Gary Maher, our PR guy, says I got to go and speak after every meeting. I said, speak about what? Because a lot of things we discuss are just internal business that isn't very interesting to the media. Everybody wants a rule change from a hockey perspective or some news on the Olympics. We discuss some rules and, you know, can they work better? For example, the coaches challenge. But other things we discuss really aren't things you want to discuss to the media or you know, the world. we have items on there that basically find their way on, and John would know, having been to a few of these meetings, that managers are upset or their owners are upset based on a ruling in a particular game, and they want the view of all the managers in that meeting. So we'll show them that decision on, say, a coach's challenge, and the managers will get their view of the managers, and it'll usually be what we thought it was, and then the manager might not be happy, but he'll be content. He can go back to his owner and say, this is what the rest of the managers thought on that one play in that one game on November 14th, for example. But for the most part, what we discussed was normal for this time of year. You got to remember, a lot of our managers, Gary wanted to discuss, and we had breakout meetings on the first day, and Gary wanted to discuss, one of the managers discussed what they thought the game may look like 5 or 10 years from now, give them an opportunity to look at coaching and player development, player safety in the game, and any other broad stroke ideas that may benefit the game, which is probably the manager's role. But if you look at the manager in March, on March 6th, for example, he just got through a trade deadline. Three-quarters of the managers are trying to make the playoffs or put themselves in a particular playoff position. Four or five have decided they're sellers and aren't in a great mood. And so it was a hard exercise for these guys to really look 5 or 10 years ahead when they were just concentrating on the last 24 hours or the next 48 hours.
Right.
So all in all, it was pretty much a waste of time is what you're saying.
Oh, not really.
I have a question. One of the agenda items, according to a source I know.
Really?
Told me.
Same source, different source?
Oh, same source.
Oh.
Told me that you guys were going to discuss the ability to, like, the international rule about going back to the same shooters in the shootout. Is that going to happen?
No.
That's the end of that conversation.
Why not?
Because we felt that it's not broken, John, so why fix it? I thought all along that having a seventh shooter come in, like, if I were to ask you, what's the most memorable shootout shot ever, what would it have been?
Merrick Malik.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So I think it's a team sport, and why limit it to the three guys? And when you look at it, too, I think our shootouts are settled in the first two or three shots anyways, the 85% of them when we look at the numbers, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't pay a lot of attention to the goings-on at the general manager's meetings because there's really not much news, as you would acknowledge. And yet, one of the things that I did see, and I just need confirmation of this, is that there actually may have been some substantive discussion about the possibility of awarding 3 points for a 60-minute victory. Can you update us on whether that is factual, and do you think it is possible we will see this?
I don't think it's possible. And
shot that one down.
That was the end of that, too.
But factual, it wasn't a formal discussion in the large group. It was a discussion in some of the smaller. We had four groups broke up into breakout groups, and there was discussion in three of the four breakout groups that it's something maybe we should look at. I don't think we're going there. I think there'd be too much of a gap by November, December, with 3 points per team. Having said that, 3 points per win, but having said that, it might be easier to make up ground, too, if you could gain 3 points in a regulation win. It's interesting.
Well, it also provides potential drama late in the season, too. The reason for doing it, Coley, is principally this. In a game where goal scoring is at a premium, the lure of an extra point to win in 60 minutes might motivate coaches, probably not, but might. But might, more importantly, motivate players to try and do something late in a hockey game rather than go into overtime. Not only can we win this game, but maybe we can win it in regulation and we get an extra point for it. Don't you see the value of that?
Yeah, no, I do. I completely agree with you. Unfortunately, the one thing that we found is, at least in our sport, is coaches, teams too, for that fact, the players, would rather not lose, more than they would rather win. So in the old days when there was a tie, or even now, you just don't want to lose in overtime. Well, over the 3-on-3 is totally kind of against that. The 4-on-4 was different. And even 5-on-5 overtime when we introduced overtime.
Right.
Teams would play it, and you'd wonder why, even when we had the 4-on-4, why teams wouldn't go with three defensemen and one forward when they're playing a team in the other conference. Who cares if they got the points? You just want to get the points on the table. But teams played not to lose, and it's just kind of that thinking in hockey anyway. So if you could get 3 points, you think they would go for it, knowing it was there? They wouldn't take the risk, knowing that they didn't want to lose. So I get it. I think there should be some reward for winning a hockey game in the 60 minutes you play.
Well,
more than there is now.
All right. I mean, I'll leave it at that because I think we're both on the same page there. I don't know how you can assess what teams will do or how coaches will react. I mean, I don't disagree with you. Theoretically, that's how they might react. But then again, maybe they'll fool us. They'll realize 3 points. Boy, right. That's a lure. We should go try and do that.
The one thing you have found out, though, is that the better players in this game don't care much about defense.
No, that's right.
Put them out in 3-on-3. They don't care what the coaches say because they're probably insured by their contracts, what they make. They're usually the best players in your team.
Yep.
They go for it. They stay out there too long. They get tired, and they make lots of mistakes. And the one thing we've talked about by increasing scoring is you need to have bad goalies and make more mistakes. And there's not bad goalies in overtime, but there's lots of mistakes. And teams just say, now, on a 2-on-1, let them have it because you're going to get a 2-1 the other way. And actually, I would have to say one of the more exciting rule changes in the game has to be the 3-on-3 because...
Well, we all love it.
Yeah. And, well, it takes the coaches out of the game, too.
Exactly, and that's the point. It takes the coaches out. They can't coach these guys. They just go out and do what they want to do.
Yep. How much discussion about Las Vegas and the expansion draft occurred at the meetings? Any?
There was enough, John, but a lot that couldn't be... teams didn't want to ask questions in front of the other. And someone said, they said, well, you know, our central registry was there, and they said, well, see me afterwards. There's a lineup privately, then ask your question how you can treat this situation. There's so many different. And probably the most popular guy at the meeting was George McPhee. Everyone wanted a one-on-one. Like, can I ride? There was a game on Tuesday night. Rangers at Florida. You know, George, you want to come with me and we'll take the ride over to the game.
So, George has never been that popular.
Right.
Hey, I do have a question that the lists that are going to have to be presented to the league, to Central Registry, and then obviously presented to George. I mean, I know that there's some privacy issues and yes. Teams don't want it out there that they're going.
That question was asked at the meeting too, John.
So what's the official answer, and what can you tell us?
Well, the official answer was, it looks like we're going to keep them private. The unofficial answer was, nothing's private.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to get out.
Like the agenda.
Exactly.
Well, if Shannon has anything to do with it, we know what the answer is.
Well, but why not make them public?
And they may be. They're going to discuss that. They may be because of that it's going to get out there. You know, it'll get out there.
Well, and more importantly, what if the misinformation gets out there?
That's a good point.
So you might as well be up for. I still think there's got to be a way that we can make this a television event, but you don't. You'll laugh at me when I say that. So.
Oh, they talk about that a lot too, John.
You think that is that possible?
It's possible, yes.
Oh, good. Because it wasn't at one point.
I know.
With Coley Campbell. So you've always been pretty honest when you appear on this show, maybe more honest than anywhere else I've heard you. But and I don't know exactly
not,
why.
Not
that
Eugene
is.
Melnick honest, but pretty honest.
Well, no, let's go down the Eugene Melnick rabbit hole here.
Okay.
Is your league ready to give up the ghost on Phoenix? Honest to God, you know.
Now you're asking a legal question to a hockey guy.
Well, you're a hockey guy. I'm not interested in the legals of it. I'm interested in whether it's a good market or not a good market. And I have never understood Gary's penchant for this project. And I know theoretically he doesn't like franchises to move, and yet franchises have moved. But he has been so adamant about Phoenix and Glendale. Well, and there's no there, Coley.
He's not adamant about Glendale anymore.
Well, he's threatening the other way now. You know, he's threatening, something or what?
Gary's human. He's getting tired. I can tell you that. He's getting tired.
Yeah.
And it's tough. He's been defending that, as you said, that franchise, that city
for a decade.
While.
Yeah.
We actually owned it for a while.
Yeah, much to your chagrin, but.
But it's you know, you're right, and he doesn't want franchises. I mean, once you make a decision, but to put a franchise in a location in a city, he stands by it, and he is getting tired. I can't blame him, and he's done everything he can to get good ownership in there, and so that's all I can tell you. I where it's going to go, I don't know. It has got, I think you can. John, you know this better. It has got a population to support it, hasn't it? But is it a hockey population? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they were drawing okay downtown. The people that were at the arena couldn't see one end of the ice. You know, I mean, it was a basketball arena that they were in downtown in Phoenix, and it's the 12th largest TV market in the United States.
Right.
It is a big enough market to hold a hockey club. But it's not
a great sports market. Let's be honest. No. The basketball team doesn't fill the building unless they're playing well. The football team doesn't fill the building unless they're playing well.
But I'll tell you right now, and this is one of the
big, baseball team doesn't draw.
This is where Coley can, if you win in this game.
Well,
and that's
but everybody but, can't
no, but,
win.
No. But, hey, they've never won. They have never won. And that's the big, that to me is as big an issue as anything. is how the team has been run on the hockey operations side. Even the time, even when Don Maloney was trying to build, success was viewed at a certain level. Just getting to the playoffs. I mean, this was a team for 15 years couldn't get out of the first round. If it got to the playoffs, and then it went seven more without getting to the playoffs. I mean, that's the part for me that says it's not a good hockey market. People are smart enough to go because it's not going to win.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, that's my opinion.
I guess revenue sharing helps those teams out to a point. And in all sports, even the mighty NFL, you need to win.
Yes.
You don't sell tickets. And particularly in franchises that aren't strong, every league has them. Even you look at Florida, there's a lot of empty seats when we watch the Florida games, and they got a pretty entertaining team.
Yeah. Hey, Coley, look at Ottawa. Ottawa, I give the people in Ottawa a lot of credit. They were so mad at the Senators last year, even when they started to play well this year, they wouldn't go. Now, they've turned it around because they're one of the best stories, but the first half of the season, Ottawa attendance was a real issue.
Yep, they didn't draw.
Because they were doubting whether they could win or not. Now they think they can win.
But what is it, John? Is it to when you upset the fan base? Is it when you raise season tickets and you don't make the playoffs, or is it how you entertain those fans, or is it not trying, not making that trade, not signing that free agent? What upsets fans?
Well, in the end, I want a team that is winning more than it's losing, is going to the playoffs, and at some point, there's hope. There's always hope. You can look at what the Coyotes have done for the last 4 or 5 years and you wonder if there's any hope. And, I mean, that one year that they went, did they get to the third round or did Nashville get to the third round? I can't remember. They've had 1 year, in their time in Arizona.
They got beat out by L.A. the year L.A. won the cup the first year.
Okay, so that's 2012.
Right.
Once.
That's all well and good. It's about entertainment.
Winning is entertaining,
yeah,
Bob.
Well, it is and it isn't. Yes, you know, you go to 5 movies in a row and they're all dogs. You're going to stop going to the movies because you don't think there's any good movies out there.
That's exactly right. You go to five games that your team loses. You're not going back for the sixth.
Well, I'm going to make this argument. You know what? If you had 5, 4, 6, 5 hockey games and you're entertained during that game, even if you lose, you said, "Wow, it was entertaining." Got to see what I came to see. Lots of goals. When the average score is 3-2, you better have the 3.
Okay, so that gets us back to Coley. How much discussion about increasing goal scoring was there?
Well, you mentioned the word hope.
Yeah.
And I really don't care how many goals they score. And maybe I'm different. I watch the game differently. I like a good 1-0 game where there's lots of hitting.
I do, too, occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally, and there's rivalry. And I'm not big on a 6-5 game. That means there's lots of sloppy plays and goaltending. The one thing that I think we've changed in our game since 2004-05 when we changed the rules, you can't lock down a game. There's even a 3-0 game that might end up being a 4-3 game. You can come back. And in the 2003-04 finals, Calgary-Tampa, every game a goal was scored, that team won that game, the first goal that was scored.
Yeah.
The thing I heard that really bothered me most when we were meeting throughout that whole year, the lockout year, and John will remember that, we got the chance to really look at the game.
Yep.
And it was when someone said, there's no hope once you get behind by a goal. By 2 goals, give it up. You could lock a game down. You could dummy down a game and by holding and clutching and grabbing. But now there's hope to come back. And I think you say for a fan to come and hope to win. I think there's hope that you can come back. You're down 2-0 in the third period, even 3-0. You can come back. We've had a lot of those plays, those games this year, and that's the scary part. When you're up 3-0, you're worried about it. So there is, as far as goal scoring, I think more than goal scoring, there is the opportunity to come back from a deficit in a game, and I think for any person at a game who wants to leave at the end of the second period, you will if you know that the score is going to remain the same. So that's...
Yeah.
We'll
agree to disagree. Okay. You know, I mean, it's fair. I mean, I see your point, but
we call penalties now. Like you call penalties. Maybe some guys don't like it, but you never called the penalty in the third.
Oh, I know.
You called the penalty in overtime before.
No, I know. I know. Well, and they.
I'm not big on that because people yell, but we want to call penalties. So you try to call the same thing October 3rd as you do. May 14th in an overtime playoff game. You hope you can do that,
We'll continue this dialogue. It's been too long between phone calls. We thank you very much for your time today, and we hope to talk to you soon.
And, John, give me that source up one of these days, okay?
I'll get it for you, Colin.
Thanks.